Our second scripture lesson comes from the 10th chapter of John's Gospel, verses 1 through 18. In many ways, this little section of scripture is a fulfillment, or perhaps a further exploration of Psalm 23. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks and the flock scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father." May God add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. As we were putting our prayer requests together, as I said, there was a theme developing, and I don't want to ignore that, because it's very relevant to our lesson this morning. And we have people who go to a doctor and can't kind of find a doctor who will help them. And you wonder, wait a minute, what kind of world are we living in here? What kind of a health system do we have? Now, that hasn't been my experience at all. Thank God. In fact, I told you the situation I've been going through. I have one more procedure coming up this week, which I hope will be the last one. But I've had probably 8 or 10 doctors look over my situation and give their opinions. I've been just blessed by a wealth of information there. It reminds me of a book I read several years ago, and Some of you may have it on your shelf at home. It may even be, I didn't have a chance to look in the library, but there may be a copy in the library. It's Philip Keller's book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. And it's a kindly little book by a man who was a shepherd, and he takes this metaphor that Jesus talks about, and he interprets it in terms of his work as a shepherd. And one of the things that impressed me in reading that book was how hands-on a shepherd really needs to be in order to preserve and protect his sheep. He has to actually take the sheep in his hands and physically go through and make sure that there are no parasites. And when the Bible talks about anointing with oil, shepherds carried oil and they poured it on the heads of their sheep to help keep the insects, you know, who would burrow and try to get in through the. It's like fleas always go to the neck. That's why the dogs wear flea collars and cats wear flea collars. That the oil would restrain those afflictions. But Philip Keller talked about how the shepherd is constantly, you know, hands on with his sheep, making sure that there's nothing afflicting them at that time. And I think of Jesus in that way, that Jesus is one who is so intimate with us that it's not just an emotional or existential or a spiritual thing. Jesus is concerned about us physically as well. And he keeps aware of our physical situation. I'm sure of that. Now, I know a lot of people might have trouble with this idea, the whole metaphor of Jesus as the shepherd. It's not that we have a difficulty seeing Jesus as a good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep, or as one who leads us to peace and contentment and green pastures and still waters, but we have a difficulty with being characterized as sheep. None of us see ourselves as docile creatures that graze on the hillsides. If we're truly honest, we might even admit we find the aspect of the Good Shepherd metaphor a little off-putting. We are, after all, we are the crowning glory of God's creation. We are the souls that God created for fellowship with himself. God breathed life directly into Adam and Eve, and they became living souls. God walked with them and talked with them in the garden. And God was well pleased with them until the day of their disobedience. And even after the fall, and one of the most poignant little sections of Scripture is that even after the fall, when Adam and Eve turned their back on God, and God has pronounced their curses, he made clothing for them as he turned them out of the Garden of Eden. And that was just the beginning of how God would show his love to the disobedient children. We now know that he sent his only son to die, that their souls and the souls of their children might be redeemed. So why the metaphor of the Good Shepherd? I think we have to focus on that, on the Good Shepherd, and not so much on the idea of us being sheep. We have to focus on Jesus as the one who's concerned with the souls entrusted to his care. And like Philip Keller in his book, you know, that he is intimately involved with our well-being. And of course, we have to put things into perspective. Yes, Jesus cares about our physical bodies and, you know, our health and well-being, but his greatest concern is our soul. The spiritual essence of who we are apart from this physical body. Think about it. He died so that our sins would be forgiven, so that we would be preserved for eternal life. I have maybe 20 more years in this shell. Hopefully, it'll be that much, could be even less, who knows? We never know. But we do know that our soul, our spirit, our who we are is going to be with Christ through eternity. And the Bible teaches us also that these physical bodies are going to be raised again. Just as Christ was resurrected, the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. We say it every week. Now, Reverend Joseph Parker became famous about separating soul and body when it comes to thinking about the 23rd Psalm and the words of Jesus and Jesus as the great shepherd. He preached in various churches in England near the end of the 19th century and the beginning of the 20th century. He shocked his congregation one Sunday morning when he declared, "I have no soul." Of course, he paused and let that sink in, let the parishioners catch their breath. And he followed that statement with the words, "I am a soul and I have a body." How many of us think of ourselves that way? I am a soul and I have a body. It implies strongly that the soul is the important part of my construction as a human being. Do we treat it that way? I'm just going to throw that question in. Now, if what Reverend Parker says is true, and according to the Bible, he is, then there are implications for the way we live our lives. We know that we should care for our bodies, give them good nutrition, exercise, and we should look to the doctors to help us defeat any injury or disease. But do we give the same attention to the health and well-being of the soul? Think about it. Do we give the same kind of attention to the well-being of our soul? If we did, these pews would be more full than they are. If we as a nation, I mean. But Reverend Parker's declaration was used as a preface to the study of the 23rd Psalm. For him and countless others, the appeal of the psalm is to the soul. When seen from the perspective of the soul, Psalm 23 is a map that charts the journey of a soul that has given themselves to the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. That's a complete trusting, entrusting of oneself into the hands of Christ. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He refreshes my soul. Is that true for you? Is that how you feel, you know, in your relationship with your Savior? And when things get tough, and yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, do you fear evil? It says, "I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." Think about that. Having a banquet with your enemies gathered around watching, yet feeling perfectly safe. "And like a good shepherd, you anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. Then I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Jesus takes the metaphor farther by comparing the shepherd to the thief. Now, the thief enters the fold by climbing over the fence or sneaking in another way. The sheep don't recognize his voice, so they run because the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. Now, we often, preachers preach about evil, and a lot of people say, "Well, how do I recognize evil? What's evil?" You know, when evil is exactly this. Jesus said in another place, "You know them by their fruits." The fruits of the thief are that he comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. You can call him Satan, you can call him any number of names that you want, but that's his hallmark. He comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. He might be a drug dealer, he might be a world leader, he might be a military man, he might even be a neighbor down the street, or she. If the fruits of their lives show that they have come to steal, to kill, or destroy, don't listen to them. That's not the voice of Jesus. Jesus then refers to himself as, they didn't understand the metaphor. They couldn't see themselves as sheep. So Jesus said, how about if I tell you I am the gate of the sheepfold? My Father has many sheep, and there are many that I call to become one flock, and I am the gate to that sheepfold, because I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. May God add his blessing to this reading of his holy word and for the exposition of it. Join me in a word of prayer, please. Almighty God, thank you. Thank you that we have a good shepherd. Thank you that our souls are fed and nourished and lifted up and healed by the presence of Jesus Christ in our lives. Once again, we pray for those whose physical bodies need healing as well. And we know you care for them. But those who can't even find someone to help them, we pray you surround them with helping hands and physicians who care. Thank you that we live in a nation where such things are possible. We live in a world where, regardless of how much evil there is, how many lies are told, there is still truth. We pray this all in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.